Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning again. Welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow, and as promised before the break here, as we transition from Handicapper Support to Racing Across America, still with us is Brian Addo, live via Zoom. And I mentioned earlier, Brian does the notes for the Breeders' Cup, so pays close attention all year long to the European racing. So I thought we'd have him stick around a little bit to talk some more of Ascot and Champions Day, because we'll have a couple of races during this show as well. Two really nice races, Palace Pier and Mishriff coming up. Before we do that, though, coming up a little bit later on, I have Joe Clancy to talk about the jump races at Far Hills today. And I did it because three of the races are in the cross-country pick five with a couple of Belmont races. And you and I were talking during one of the breaks. You've been lucky enough to go. I have never been. I'd love to go. If you go to the Far Hills website, they have a drone shot going over, and it's just that's enough to make you want to go. It seems like a lot of fun. What was your experience?
Woodstock at the races, Seth. I was working for Joe and Sean, so I kind of sort of had to be on my best behavior. Wear your rubber boots. The year I was there, it was a total mess. Obviously, you're kind of in a big field. You know, it's jump racing. And I was trying to describe it to you, and you and I kind of, you know, growing up relatively in the same area, it'd be like the races would be in downtown Mechanicville, and the only way to get there would be like taking 4 and 32 to the track. I mean, there's one way in, one way out, and about 50,000 people are trying to get there. It is a scene. It is a great day of racing. It's steeplechases, you know, championship event. I know Percy Warner and the Iroquois is the early season day, but Far Hills is awesome. So it was really cool that Bill Gallo, you know, the senior member of the NSA, got together with Dave O'Rourke and put that cross country together, because you know, it's a great day of racing, and they're a really signature event.
Yeah, I'd love to get down there. And for folks in our area, it's very, you know, it's down there in New Jersey. It's very reachable. Put it on your agenda. I'd love to go. But today, Snap Decision and the Mean Queen. We'll talk about all that with Joe coming up a little bit later on. But again, we're about 3 minutes away now from the fourth at Ascot, the QE, the Queen Elizabeth II. And again, Palace Pier currently sitting at even money. We talked about Baid, the undefeated, as I say, Sporting Life labeled Baid as the young pretender. That one's sitting at 3-1 currently. But we were talking again off the air. You had a couple other ideas that might be interesting in here.
Well, the Revenant won this race last year. So, you know, you have to give him a little bit of a look. Now, he's not in the best form this year. He's run three times. He's lost all three races. He hasn't even run in a group one. So I would probably fade him a little bit. He doesn't seem to be the horse he was last year. Now, conversely, though, you look at Alcohol Free, the three-year-old filly. She is really, really good. And when she last got to do her thing, and that's run a mile, Seth, you know, she won the Sussex at Glorious Goodwood to get a spot into the Breeders' Cup mile. She beat Poetic Flair, who would be a player in here. Now, she tried a mile and a quarter last time behind Mishrift in that Judmont International. That's not her game. She's a crack miler. She's going to get a little bit of weight from some of these males, especially, you know, especially the three, the older horse, the four-year-old Palace Pier. So I think, you know, Alcohol Free is a real player in here. She is, I'm looking at our pool. She's trading at sevens in our pool. She's 17-2 in Europe. The Revenant, as they're getting ready here at 10, I would fade him. Odds on now, Palace Pier. But he's not odds on over here.
Yeah, and they're just loading in. They have about three more to go. And I believe that is number four, Palace Pier, about to go in. So we will send it to the call. Stick around, and we'll get a thought also on the upcoming Champions Stake before we let you go. They are off at Ascot.
stalls dropped in is Niord, and Ben Battle goes into an early lead, but at a fairly steady pace by the look of things. Settling in second is Palace Pier in the Silver Silks. The Revenant is handy in the red over on the far side through the first furlong. Then Alcohol Free, Bayeed in the blue and white jacket. And they're followed by Lady Beauthorpe, the grey lady, Lord Glitters. And then Master of the Seas, who switched off in the white cap, followed by Niord and Mother Earth at the rear of the field. Heading through the first 2.5 furlongs, and Ben Battle is now allowed to stride on a bit by Pat Cosgrave. Leads by a couple of lengths to the Revenant second. They're followed by Alcohol Free. Palace Pier is sharing third almost with Alcohol Free, followed by Lord Glitters and Bayeed and Lady Beauthorpe, Niord, Master of the Seas, Mother Earth. Ben Battle leads the way, passing the halfway stage in the QE2. Ben Battle stretching on by 2.5 lengths to the Revenant now, followed another 2 lengths away by Alcohol Free. Palace Pier is close up, then Bayeed to the outside of Lady Beauthorpe, Lord Glitters, Master of the Seas, Niord and Mother Earth, heading for the final quarter mile, just over the 2 now, and it's Ben Battle still dictating the race from the Revenant. Here's Palace Pier coming there strongly under Frankie Dettori, then Alcohol Free and Bayeed now being unleashed on the outside, and it's the Revenant that strikes on from Palace Pier, and Bayeed down the centre charging home. The Revenant, Palace Pier, Bayeed just doing best on the near side. It's Bayeed from Palace Pier and the Revenant. They're chased by Lady Beauthorpe. Bayeed, Palace Pier is digging in, but Bayeed wins. Bayeed is still unbeaten and wins the Queen Elizabeth the Second Stakes, and Jim Crowley is jubilant and salutes the crowd. Palace Pier beaten for only the second time in his career in second place. Lady Beauthorpe, another screaming run in third. And they were followed by the Revenant.
He does it, forget the graphic. That's wrong, don't worry about the graphic. Bayeed has won this for Jim Crowley, a second winner of the day, and remains unbeaten. We were talking before about, we don't know quite how good he is. Well, he's very, very good indeed. He won a Group 1 in France last time. It's his first domestic Group 1, and Palace Pier really gave him a race here for Frankie over towards the far side. Lady Beauthorpe has run an absolute blinder in third at a big price, 41.0 on course. What a mare she's been to the Willie Jarvis team this season. The Revenant.
Well, that was some finish. It came down to the two logicals there, but Bayeed stays undefeated in career start number 6, and an impressive win number 6 on the career resume, because he beats Palace Pier.
Yeah, and Palace Pier 9-9 and every other race that's not named the QE2. Overy lost it last year.
When
third to the Revenant, lost it in a big performance from Bayeed. We were just wondering if he could get to the level of Palace Pier, and certainly, you know, Palace Pier, watched him in mid to late stretch. He was never really traveling, and Frankie Dettori probably had to ask him more than he wanted to early on. Of course, it's a testing, you know, straight mile there at Ascot. He really had to get into him probably more than he wanted to, whereas typically Palace Pier is going to drag him up to the lead. Wasn't really the case today. And Bayeed saw it out late, got a little bit more. Really, really impressive. Getting a little weight from Palace Pier, but I can't really imagine that made the difference, because he was always traveling like a winner, whereas Palace Pier had to be scrubbed down a little bit by Frankie Dettori. Big effort from both of them. Sir Bayeed answers the bell here, 6 for 6 now, as you mentioned, Seth. And, you know, that is rare that's going to come back, you know, on the time form figures as the standard, I would think, this year in Europe, certainly among the milers.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it is kind of quirky. You look at the resume of Palace Pier, now 11 starts, 9 wins, and the 2 losses are in this race, this year and last year.
He has won at Ascot before, so it's just, you know, might just be, well, you have to remember, it's at the end of what is a very, you know, year for these horses.
Yes. Yeah.
It is Champions Day, and you know, Palace Pier didn't dodge any bullets and dances this year, and here we are in the middle of October at the end of his season, so it will be interesting to see what Johnston and his son, Thaddy, decide to do with Palace Pier. He's got the entry into the FanDuel Breeders' Cup Mile. So, you know, we'll see. Don't forget, obviously, it's a two-turn mile at Del Mar. Del Mar, a lot sharper than anything they've ever seen in Europe. So we'll just have to see. But that was exciting. And the cool thing, Seth, is we get to do again about 25 minutes and see Mishrift and Adair throw it down. The feature, that wasn't even the featured, and the featured champion stakes.
Yeah, and give us some of your thoughts before we let you go in the champions. We've talked a little bit about it already, Mishrift. And I actually had some replays that the guys could pull up. Mishrift, we'll take a look first at the Saudi Cup, and then the guys can just fire up also the Judmont International, because as we mentioned earlier, he's all surface. And it's hard for a horse to do that to begin with, but you called him world-class before, earlier. And at the world-class level, it's very tough. And as you said, he's beating Charlatan here in the Saudi Cup on the dirt earlier this year. And then back in the middle of August, again, the Judmont International. So Mishrift comes in with very good credentials, obviously. Be the number four horse in the upcoming fifth on Champions Day. But Adair, who beat Mishrift back in July, put together a big double this year at the Derby and the King George. Bolshoi Ballet is also in. Adeyeb, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is intriguing as well. But again, give us some of your thoughts on the upcoming Champion Stakes.
Well, this is a mile and a quarter, and I know Adeyeb beat Mishrift in that historic King George, but you know, I think this is a better trip for Mishrift, and he gets a little cut in the ground, which is not going to be a problem. Whereas Adair struggled with the heavy conditions at Longchamp in the arc. But you watched that Judmont International, as you have it up there, and Mishrift was back on his game. He was so good, and he's clearly the horse to beat. There's no doubt about that. He's going to give a little weight to Adair. And like I said, he lost to him. There's no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about that. But Mishrift is class through and through. And I don't necessarily know if he had his best that day at Ascot in the King George. You know, you look at the Coral Eclipse when he was third to St. Mark's Basilica at a mile and a furlong, the King George at a mile and a half. So I think today, back at 10, back at a mile and a quarter, that really puts the advantage to Mishrift, whereas a horse like Adair is really just getting going at a mile and a quarter. So I wonder if he's going to be as top class as Mishrift at that distance.
And here we're watching Adair win that King George over Mishrift.
Sure, and he won the Derby over there in June at Epsom. But again, that's a mile and a half. So you look at his form, and it's just better going longer. He was, he was a good fourth in the arc. Don't get me wrong, but he never really settled early on. He kind of ran off a little bit that day, and I just think he struggled with the ground. And if he's going to run off a little bit here, if he's going to be keyed up and keen, that's a real problem. I'm going to mention, the gap to the rest of these are big. And so I had to dope all these horses out when I wrote the newsletter this week. And admittedly, I wasn't really familiar with Dubai Honor for William Haggis, but he comes in off three in a row. But it was a handicap at Newmarket in July. It was the, St. Germain at Deauville in August, and it was the pre-dollar at Longchamp in October. And none of those races, Seth, are anything remotely close ever, let alone this year, to the races that Adair and Mishrift have come out of. But he's very, very sneaky and very, very comfortably the third choice in here at 11-2. And obviously, they're very sharp over there. It's interesting to me. I really would have thought the gap would have been a lot bigger after Adair to the rest of these. But here's Dubai Honor at 11-2. Adeyeb is at 15-2. And I think he's further down the list. We'll call him the other William Hay, guys. He's 12 for 23 lifetime. He actually won this race last year. But again, you know, there is nobody last year like Mishriff or Adeyar this year. He did win an Australian, ironically enough, he won the Queen Elizabeth at Randwick in April. But he was, you know, comfortably beaten by St. Mark's Basilica. But he beat Mishriff in the Coral Eclipse when Mishriff really didn't really have his day. So I think Adeyab to me is further down the list. But again, if you're looking for alternatives to two really strong, heavy favorites, you could do worse than horses like that. Seth, Sealaway was a good sixth in the arc on ground. He didn't like it all. Lightly raced and improving from Germany. So, you know, there are other ways to go in here, even though the two favorites have the bar set pretty darn high.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And we are scheduled to go off at about 10:50. So we're still better part of a half an hour away from that one. Looking forward to it. But, Brian, we appreciated your comments. Appreciate you sticking around. Again, you do the notes for the Breeders' Cup, so always looking at those European races and have some good opinions. So appreciate that. Also, your thoughts on this afternoon at Keeneland, back on the handicapper's report. So appreciate you sticking around. Good luck today. We'll talk again next week.
Yeah, and give Mr. Clancy my best, too, and tell him to enjoy Far Hills. And, Seth, we'll catch up with you guys later.
Sounds good. Brian Addo live via Zoom from the Florida home base. Envious, although the weather's been nice around here lately, although I think that is turning fairly quickly. All right, though, we will take a break. And as promised, Joe Clancy will join us when we come back. The Far Hills Jump Race is part of that cross-country pick five. So we'll pick Joe's brain and get some of his thoughts on those races. All of that coming up. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick 6 payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. This morning it's Racing Across the World, however, with the Champions Day over at Royal Ascot, but a special day here on this side of the pond as well, with Far Hills having the jump races. And intriguing being part of the cross-country pick five with a couple of Belmont races as well. And being part of that pick five, I thought we would get some expert advice. Who better to reach out to than our friend Joe Clancy? Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little Far Hills. And we just finished up the handicappers report earlier, and Brian Addo was on with me, and he said back in the days when he was working with you guys, he had a chance to visit Far Hills, and he gave it a couple of thumbs up. Give me your experience at Far Hills, because I said I visited the website, and there are a couple of drone shots going over, and it just makes you want to go down. I should note, for people from our area, it's about a 2.5-hour drive. It's very doable to get down there and put it on the list, certainly, but I would love to go. Give me your experience at Far Hills.
Yeah, it's a great day of racing. I'd recommend it to anybody I come across. And you're right, it's pretty easy to get to from almost anywhere. It's not bad from up there. They're actually, it's on a New Jersey Transit train line, so you see people coming out of the city on that. It's a big, beautiful, we're standing in a big open field. You're on a hill that looks out over the race course, so it's very natural. You get to see everything. Lots of tailgate party type atmosphere. You know, there are no seats per se anywhere, but everybody, you know, most people buy a tailgate space and set up a big day of a, you know, along the lines of a college football day or anything else and watch the race. We just pulled in here and Springsteen Born to Run was playing over all the loudspeakers and, you know, it's a very New Jersey day out. But it's great racing. They do a great job with the turf course, and the racing's always really first class. And, you know, it was very strange to not have it at all last year. And, you know, to be back this year is great.
Natto described it as Woodstock at the races.
A little bit. You know, when you're working like we are, I've never kind of had the full Woodstock experience. But, yeah, I think there are definitely some people with a Woodstock experience at the races today.
I like that. All right, let's get some thoughts on some of the races because it's going to be fun this afternoon. As I say, part of that cross-country pick five with Belmont, and I wrote it down. It's going to be races 3, 4, and 5 at Far Hills, and races 5 and 6 at Belmont are going to make up that cross-country pick five. But race 3 at Far Hills is the Grand National, a grade 1 event, typically one of the more important jump races of the year because the placement in the year plays into the Eclipse Awards, and you would have to think that'll be the case this year. It's only a field of 4, but it's only a field of 4, I think, because 2 of them are the Mean Queen and Snap Decision. And it isn't always that we get the lead up to a race that then plays out when the race, when the gates open. But that happened last time in the Lonesome Glory. We're going to watch the stretch run here from that race down at Belmont, a grade 1 over the jumps, where it came down to the Mean Queen and Snap Decision. And the Mean Queen got it done coming off of her nice performance in the Jonathan Shepherd up at Saratoga. So she comes into this with a little bit of an edge, but it was a long layoff for the Snap Decision. Maybe he's going to be a little tighter on Saturday. What are your thoughts in the Grand National?
Yeah, I mean, I think those two are standouts, and you touched on it. I mean, it's level weight today, so anybody going in there does not get the big weight break that they would have gotten from Snap Decision and now the Mean Queen in the handicaps at Saratoga or at Belmont. So, and there's a $75,000 open stake next week, so a lot of the horses that might have gone in here are going to go in a race they think they've got a little better shot in. And, you know, like even the flat guys would say they'll take on one horse, but they might not take on two, you know. And the Mean Queen and Snap Decision certainly stand out in there. I think she kind of got the jump on him and had the edge on him at Belmont because they both ran the end of June, and then she ran twice at Saratoga. He kind of took the whole summer off and came back at Belmont and, you know, would have needed that to be at his best. And, you know, they ran away from the third horse. You know, they were 9 lengths clear to third horse at Belmont. So to me, they stand out. He should be tighter today, but she's going to be tough too. And she gets weight from him for the filly mare allowance, but, you know, he's going to have to step up and, you know, run better than he ran, and hopefully, and he's got to prove that he was tighter. You know, she ran really well at Saratoga. She's run really well every time. You know, she's come over here and just risen right up through the ranks, and she's going to be tough to handle again. The small field makes it a little interesting tactically, who's going to do what. I would imagine she's going to be in front of him just based on running style, but I doubt she's going to be very far in front of him because, you know, again, with the small field, somebody's going to have to go after somebody, you know, at some point. The 2 5/8 mile race, there's going to be a lot of cat and mouse type stuff. I think Snap Decision, I picked him just because I think he'll be better, and he gets to come, you know, he's at his peak now. There's no excuses. And if she beats him again, you know, then obviously she's better. But he would have had a little bit of a reason for not being quite at his best at Belmont.
And again, it was fun to watch them face off last time. It's going to be fun again on Saturday. But there's a human angle, too. Jack Fisher, who has recently been at the top of the jump game on the trainer side of things. But Carrie Breon may be stepping into that role, having spent a lot of time as an assistant to Jonathan Shepherd. And it was fun to see her win the Shepherd up at Saratoga. I had her on up there after she won early in the meet. And so I think on the human side, there are a couple of great stories here as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and you know, Jack's Hall of Fame year, you know, I'm sure he wants nothing more to have an Eclipse Award winner, too. And snap decision, he had tied a record with his ninth consecutive steeplechase win, and then he gets beat going for number 10 by Carrie's horse at Belmont. So, you know, in Carrie's barn, she inherited some of the owners from Jonathan Shepherd, but then has sort of built up her stable with bringing over new horses like the Mean Queen and finding prospects, and they've delivered. She was really good at Saratoga and Belmont, and you know she's going to get another chance here to prove it today.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun race. The third at Fire Hills, the Grand National, and just give me from a steeplechase perspective. Because you have written about it for years, Steeplechase Times and the Saratoga Special now, obviously, and whatnot. It has to feel great to be on the steeplechase side of the game and see it get kind of molded into this cross-country pick six, where I believe it's also going to be on the America's Day at the Races show, three of these races, those cross-country pick five races. Which I think is going to raise the profile of the game at a meet where it probably deserves some extra attention, Fire Hills.
Yeah, to me, that's great. I mean, anything to kind of bring this to some people who might not otherwise see it, you know, and to showcase their bred horses. You know, I mean, they're all bred to be either flat horses or, you know, they're bred to be race horses. It's just a different kind of race, you know. So to me, anything showcasing them and showcasing a venue like this with a crowd, I mean, they'll have 30 to 40,000 people here. I mean, this is a major event, and it's also become a major racing stop. And anything with between things like the America's Day at the Races and the cross-country pick five that Naira put together, you know, that's good for it. Any bridges we can build between the two sides of thoroughbred racing are great and good for jump racing for sure.
I didn't realize that. Is that really the crowd is in a 30 to 40 range?
Yeah, I think. I mean, again, they're coming in carloads, so it's a little tricky to count. But yeah, I mean, most of it not happening last year, I think, kind of, you know, did change things. It's such a tradition that, you know, people come here and have been coming for so long. This is the 100th running of the Far Hills races, you know. So they sell most, if not all, the tickets in advance. There's waiting lists for certain tailgate areas. I mean, it's a major thing. It's all a big fundraiser for a local hospital here too. And a few years ago they named their cancer center, the Somerset Medical Center is the name of it, but they named their cancer center the Steeplechase Cancer Center because of all the money raised by this event, you know, which is really cool, you know, and it kind of adds another layer of this sport and why it's still here and why it's important.
That's great. And aren't a lot of those meets charity based during the year?
Yeah. And again, it mostly, I mean, I think it works because if you just tried to sell it on a horse race thing, again, steeplechasing is a little under the radar in terms of sports go. So if you can sell the day out that people get and it benefits some sort of important local charity, you'll see it. Hospitals or some land preservation groups are benefit from some of these things, and a lot of volunteers come and help put the thing together. And they're the most successful ones have just become important events in their community, wherever it might be.
Yeah, and as I say, I'd love to get down to Far Hills. So in that Grand National, if you're playing the cross-country pick five, I think you have to use both Snap Decision and Mean Queen to feel confident. But we'll move on to the Appleton race number four. I pulled up a race. We are going back to August 13th, and Yaboya won. And this is over in Europe, in Ireland. This will be one of the horses that is in the fourth race today, ships over from Europe. And the morning line has, 9-5 favorite. I'm not sure I'm that confident, excuse me, but I don't think there was anybody in the field that offers a whole lot of confidence you can jump on. So your boy attracts me a little bit, but what are your thoughts in the fourth, the Appleton?
Yeah, your boy just form over there certainly stands out. He's the highest. The Appleton is a handicap race. He's the rated 130, which is the top of that race, basically. So he's carrying top weight for a reason because he's been successful. It is his first start in America. I think he's going to get asked a little, he's going to get asked to run a little faster than he's probably run. And if I'm playing to pick five, I'm trying to find some value because you figure Snap Decision and the Mean Queen aren't going to help you much. And I think Jack Fisher's horse Sight, the three, has a shot to run much better than he's been running lately. And then I actually picked Presence of Mind, the two, another horse coming from overseas that kind of had a prep in September in Maryland and, might be sitting on a decent race. But you're right. I mean, you've identified the favorite. Yaboya, to me, he's the horse to beat. You know, I just think he's going to. Some of these horses come over and if they don't get real soft ground or just something to slow it up from the way they've been running, he's coming out of a 2¾-mile race, and he's going to get, they're going to be going faster than that in here. So it might be a chance to use another horse where, to me, Sight's going to be a big price and maybe he helps your pick five out if you use him. And then I've got Presence of Mind too. And again, depending on how deep you're going on your pick five ticket, your boy is certainly logical.
Yeah, and Mighty Mark with a little bit of a win streak is maybe interesting at 10-1. And up in this neck of the woods, we say Galway, but I don't know, maybe it's Galway kid, the former Shepherd trainee, who maybe on back class is a little bit interesting for the aforementioned Kerry Breon.
Yeah, I mean, he ran really well this spring. He's been sort of lost since then. So if he can come back to that, yeah, I think he fits here. Mighty Mark has won three in a row, but he's stepping up in class and was going to get a pretty big test from some of these horses today.
And for folks who maybe don't watch the jump game all that much, again, as we talked about, Kerry Breon and Jack Fisher on the trainer side are kind of standouts this year. On the rider's side, who maybe should people be paying attention to?
The two guys tied at the top in the standings right now are Tom Garner and Graham Waters. And Tom rides mainly for Leslie Young, and Graham rides mainly for Jack Fisher, so they're going to be on live horses in most spots. Skylar McKenna, who rides that Mighty Mark, is kind of a younger up-and-coming. She just lost her apprentice allowance last week. She went up to Genesee, was stick to the New York theme. She went up to Genesee Valley and won three races up there to lose her apprentice allowance. She's another one to kind of pay attention to. And Richie Condon rides First Call kind of now for Kerry Breon, so you're gonna see his name a lot on some live horses.
Let's move to race number five. Again, one of those races in the cross-country pick five today, the Gladstone. Lightly raced Fast Vision is kind of interesting. Realist and Project 2 come over from Europe and have some credentials. I pulled up, though, a race from September 25th, Shawin Downs. We're going to watch Circus win here and win pretty convincingly for Elizabeth Voss in the first try over the jumps. First three starts of the career were on the flat at Gulfstream, Churchill, and Fairgrounds, but seemed to appreciate the move to the steeplechase side of things last time. But what are your thoughts in race number five, the Gladstone?
Yeah, Circus was his sire Run Happy's first steeplechase starter and winner. So, there it is. They can do that, too.
We'll start seeing and those signs at the jump meets.
Yeah, we're going to go jump happy, though. I think here, these are three-year-olds, so they're all very inexperienced. I think that's the main question. That horse looked really good there. He was in front, and sort of kind of had everybody else on their back foot the whole way. And, I don't know if he'll get away with that here because there's more money on the line and just more importance. I think Realist is, a standout here coming over from Ireland. And, he's run twice over jumps already. A couple of these have more experience than most in here. And I think if you're looking to do my pick five experience, you want to single in the last leg, so Realist might be your single in the pick five to try to take it down if you've used some value in some of the other spots.
I like it. And Joe, again, appreciate your thoughts on the day, because people maybe not familiar with this as much as the flat side of things. So a little help on that cross-country pick five is appreciated. And I will tell people all Saratoga meet, you can pick up a Saratoga special and enjoy it. But the rest of the year, go to thisishorseracing.com to see the work of you and your brother Sean and Tom Law as well. There's a shot of the website there. And speaking of your brother Sean, he's got a couple of horses running the first two races today, correct?
Yeah, Queen's Empire in the first and City Dreamer in the second. I think Queen's Empire might have a shot at a decent price. He's got to step up, but might be some value. And then while we're trying to figure out this pick five, I'm going to need some Belmont help, you know. So, you know, feel free to send me some numbers for the middle legs of this thing.
Will do. Will do. Because Belmont was my assignment on the handicappers report today. So, yeah. I'll give you a little hint. We'll have a matching of the minds and the cross country together today. Joe, again, really appreciate it. Have a great time. As they say, I would love to get down there. Maybe we can go down and do a live version of the show down there one of these upcoming falls. But it looks like a lot of fun. So wish you and everybody a lot of fun and good luck today. We'll talk again.
Awesome. Thanks, Seth.
Joe Clancy from, again, Saratoga Special. This is horseracing.com. But some thoughts on today's jump races down at Far Hills, which, again, encompass three of the races in that cross-country pick five today with another couple of races at Belmont. So it should be a fun afternoon. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have some more racing across America. We are 9 minutes away from the Mishriff race over at Ascot on Champions Day. We'll talk a little bit about that and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Let me hit you with some of the promos. And I just pulled up the website to see. And it looks like you still can put your name in for today's Pick 3 promotion. I'm going to have $100 to wager on some Pick 3s today. And I haven't really decided Belmont or Keeneland. We'll take a look and decide a little bit later on. But I just pulled up the website. And I still think you have time to put your name in the hat to potentially get on the Pick 3 team. Last week, the pick three hit nicely. We'll see if we can do that again this week. So, again, check out the website, capitalotb.com. Go to the promotions link, then click on that pick three graphic and put your name in the hat to see if you can get on the team. That'll come up this afternoon. $100 pick three bankroll. Tomorrow here at the Clubhouse Racebook, it is another NFL Sunday. Come on in and watch all the football action and all the racing action. That happens every Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. During the NFL football season, if you wear a jersey, you get in for free. You maybe win a jersey. You can put your name on the squares, potentially win a jersey, maybe win a food voucher, all of that. A lot of fun here every Sunday throughout the season. NFL Sundays at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let me pull up our Ascot shot here. Just give you a little update. Let me get a drink. As I have developed a little autumn cough. It's that time of year with the leaves coming down. But we are 6 minutes away from the highlight of Champions Day, the Group 1 Champion Stakes with Mishriff. We talked about this one a little bit earlier, and you know, early on in this season, that source was looking good, finishing out of Charlatan in the Saudi Cup. We saw him win the Judmont International. So turf, dirt. If they do elect to come over here for the Breeders' Cup, they will have choices to make, obviously. But a Dayar beat Mishriff back in July at Ascot. Had the double this year of the Derby and the King George. And we're looking at 6-5 currently at Mishriff and 2-1 on a Dayar. We were talking with Brian Addo earlier. He tossed out Dubai Honor as potentially being a little bit interesting. We're getting 7-1 there. A Dayeb to me was also a little bit interesting. Brian mentioned that one also, but we're getting 7-1 there as well. Brian mentioned Sealaway, who ran an okay fifth, excuse me, in the Arc. And if you're looking for a price, that 17-1 on Sealaway. So we're hoping it comes down to, again, I mentioned it earlier when I was talking to Joe, to see the Mean Queen and Snap Decision kind of face off as they came into the stretch last time. You want the marquee horses to you know, face off coming into the final furlong. And we got that in the last race, certainly with Palace Pier and Bayeed, with Bayeed getting it done in the QE2 in the previous race at Ascot on Champions Day. But I think we're hoping Mishriff and Adair can square it off coming down the stretch here. Mishriff, the number four, Adair, the number five. Bolshoi Ballet, if the name sounds familiar, this is a three-year-old from Aidan O'Brien that tried that New York Turf Series this year and won the first leg of that down at Belmont, and then the Saratoga edition and the second Belmont edition ran fourth. So it's coming into this maybe a little bit disappointing. Oh, I'm Bolshoi Ballet scratched. So I didn't get my early scratches there. So that one is out. I was going to say that might be an interesting alternative, but no longer so. And I'm just looking at some of the other odds in here. And as compared to the morning line, I think I will say Fox's Tails, who was 50-1 on the morning line, is now sitting at 16-1. Coming off a series of pretty good races. So far this year, 5 exacta finishes and 6 starts. So the number 8, certainly taking a little action as compared to the morning line. But, again, I think we're just kind of keeping our fingers crossed and hoping that Mishriff and Adair square off coming down the lane. All right, they're circling around behind the gate, and we are looking at about 2 minutes to post. So I think I'll just step back, watch them load in. We will watch the Champion Stakes on Champions Day at Ascot and see if Mishriff and Adair do square off in the final furlong and see how that all plays out. I will come back and we'll wrap things up on a Saturday morning racing across America, racing across the globe this morning. But up next, race number 5 from Ascot. Stay tuned. Be back to wrap it up in a few.
On a huge race, far side. Massive, massive odds. So that's a huge run from He Knows No Fear on the far side. Amber Grace has bombed completely. Last year's winner's going to finish this year's last. That's the ones from the back of the field dominating the finish. Gone on to score here then. 5 beating 11 and 7. 5, 11, 7. Loading for the Champion Stakes here at Ascot. Reminder, they go without the 6, Bolshoi Ballet, who does not go. Last year's winner, Adabe, tops the field here. Not the market, though. Mishriff at the top of the market here, the globe-trotting Mishriff. What a star he is. He's got a huge chance of winning again here, you would like to imagine, for David Egan and the Gosdens. And there he is going forward. Adair, the Derby winner, of course. Can he go in for William Buick to close the gap to 1 with 1 race to go to potentially tie for the title? Who knows? I thought Sealaway, a double-figure price as the French Raider, could easily run a race here. 5th in the Arc recently. Last one's in, all set to go.
Looks a classic renewal.
They are a bit jumpety in the gate. Didn't get away too well. Yukon Glenn jumped out well, but Paul Mulrennan wants to drop in. And going forward is Adayeb on the inside from Fox's Tails. Adayeb recovering on the outside and now goes into second place. Mishriff is a handy fourth, well positioned on the inside from Sealaway. And then McSweeney followed on the inside in the blue and white striped cap by Al Arzi. And towards the rear, Yukon Glenn and Dubai Honor. Running into Swinley Bottom and Adayeb on his third appearance in the champion, the winner last year. From in second at Dayar, Fox's Tails is third. They're followed then by Sealaway. Mishriff is back in fifth place from Max Sweeney. And then Al Arzi, Dubai Honor, and Yukon Glenn. They emerge out of Swinley Bottom, racing uphill now towards the 6 furlong marker, and they're pretty well stretched out with Adayeb pressing on with Adayeb for company. They're followed by Fox's Tails on the inside of Sealaway. And then Mishriff is just tracking the leaders. David Egan just moving off the inside now to ensure a clear run. Followed by on the inside Al Arzi, the inside of Max Sweeney, and then Dubai Honor and Yukon Glenn at the back of the field. They're out now racing towards the final half mile. Adayeb and Adayeb, these two go stride for stride. Adayeb is powering up on the outside of Adayeb. And then in third is Sealaway, travelling really strongly. Mishriff is on the move as well. It's set fair as they race into the final turn with less than 3 furlongs left to cover. And Adayeb makes his bid for glory. It's Adayeb by 2 lengths to Sealaway. Mishriff charging down the outside now from Adayeb. Then Dubai Honor and Max Sweeney. Adayeb is joined by Sealaway. Mishriff is trying to join in, almost three in a line out wide. Dubai Honor staying on, hanging in to Max Sweeney. Sealaway, Mishriff, Dubai Honor looks a big threat with the big charge down the outside. Sealaway wandering a little. Dubai Honor is attacking on the near side. Sealaway and Dubai Honor. Dubai Honor trying hard, but Sealaway will not be denied, and Sealaway for France wins the Champion Stakes after his fifth in the arc. Dubai Honor second, Max Sweeney third, and Mishriff back in fourth.
Winner in the booth, Sweet Sealaway, causes a bit of a turn up here for the French at double figure odds on course 13.0. Mikhail Barcelona, he loves the celebration, doesn't he? And what a performance this is. Dubai Honor, huge run in second. I want to see the head on actually, just in case there's a bit of a bump and a barge. I think we're okay, but just want to double check. Max Sweeney's run massive in third place as well for Messrs. Bolger and Manning. Of course, the Irish Guineas winner earlier on in the season. Max Sweeney, Mishriff only managed fourth. Adayeb travelled really strongly and then just stopped completely. Adayeb faded away. They went hard, didn't they, really? And Sealaway wins this 13.0 on course. Dubai on a 7.0 on course. Max Sweeney 41.0 on course. So again, good try cast if you found it here at Ascot today. And let's just have a look at the head on. Here we go. Winner the yellow and green, of course. The second is out widest of all, extreme right as we look now. James Dawes under a left-hand drive, so heading in towards the inside. He definitely came across Mishriff. There you go. Now, let's have a look. Ooh, little wander. But it's fine. No problem. No problem at all. And Mikhail Barcelona, it's not quite Paul Moir's celebration, was it? But it's still a very happy Mikhail Barcelona. And the French will go back across the channel very happy here as Sealaway takes another one of the top British prizes. They've done it so many times before. Almanzor won this race a few years ago, if you remember. So now that means there's absolutely no chance of William Buick tying the title. So Sheen Murphy is definitely outright champion jockey. So we've got to head to Market Raisin for their next.
Upset it was. Sealaway coming out of the fifth in the arc. You know, we had Snowfall earlier, who came out of a sixth in the arc and disappointed. But kind of flattering the arc form, I suppose, with Sealaway, who comes out of a fifth place finish to get it done at 13-1. Dubai Honor 6-1 underneath. A couple of horses that Brian Addo tossed out as maybe interesting alternatives in there. It was hard to get by Mishriff or Adair. Adair, a little, well, both were disappointing, but Adair, who had the lead coming into the stretch and then kind of faded badly. And Mishriff winds up fourth and kind of made a move in the stretch and you thought it was going to get going and then couldn't get the momentum going and then kind of had another shot and then again just didn't get the momentum going, but then got caught for third too, winds up fourth in here. So a little bit, not a little bit, more than a little bit disappointing for Mishriff winding up fourth. So 10-7-9-4 in there with Max Sweeney running third at 44-1. So again, upset in the champion stake over at Ascot this afternoon. This afternoon over there, this morning over here. And being morning, we will wrap things up on Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. But we will be back in this afternoon for American Afternoon Racing with OTB Live, probably about an hour and a half or so. Take a look at a little Belmont, a little Keeneland. Don't forget, we have the Pick 3 bankroll. Go to the website. You probably still just have a few more minutes to put your name in to get on the potentially get on the bankroll team, CapitalOTB.com. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I am Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across the World on a Saturday morning. Been a lot of fun. Hopefully gave you some good ideas for today as well. We'll wrap it up for this morning, but see you in about an hour and a half for OTB Live.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.